I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is January 17th, 2025, and if you are gathered as a citizen under the flag behind me, I'm here to remind you that you have a king. And even though the Governor General is appointed by the Prime Minister, the Governor General serves the king. That's in your founding documents. And right now, the Governor General has denied you the pathetic franchise, what little of it, that you actually have. You don't have an election because of their decision to defy the public will. And here is your king. Now, I just want to ask you quickly, who wore it better? Now, setting aside for the moment that she stood arm in arm with this man and supported every single thing he did, which has so weakened our country and made us a laughing stock in the world. Setting aside for a minute that she now pretends she hasn't been an open advocate for the carbon tax and all of its tax increases, saying and making the case that the carbon tax makes you richer. And all of a sudden, she's now going to repeal it and replace it with something else. She's been telling you this entire time it's been good for you, and now all of a sudden she's going to get rid of it and do something else. So let's just take that hypocrisy off the table for a minute. You can see in the videos behind me her well-known penchant for twitching uncontrollably through press conferences. Now, to my eyes, this looks like somebody tweaking. I think meth. Could be another drug. Could be cocaine. I'm not entirely sure. But this is not normal, and it shouldn't lead a nation. It's quite disturbing, actually, but she's actually really good when compared in terms of the damage that she can do and in terms of the powers that she serves. She's a much more viable option, probably better just because she's so incompetent, than Mark Carney, and let's get into that. Now, as we introduce our next guest on the show, I'm going to leave Christy in the corner there. And if you feel like she's creeping you, it's because she probably is. Mark Carney, I'm in. We know you're in, bud. We know. You were the Bank of Canada governor from 2008, I believe it was, until 2013. And then you jumped ship and you ran the Bank of England from 2013 to, what was it, 2020? Pretty sure that's what it was. It is amazing watching liberals talk about the rich, talk about the powerful, talk about the oligarchy, and they're tripping over themselves to align with Mark Carney. It doesn't get more inside. This is your Davos, man. This is your World Economic Forum, man. This is your United Nations, man. He supports the Great Reset. He supports net zero. He supports net zero for economic reasons. He doesn't care about climate change. He doesn't care about the environment. He stated he's interested in creating and opening up new economies. And when a government is telling you about creating economies, you better guard your wallet because it's coming at your expense through taxation. This guy is completely controlled by the very global elite that I seem to recall liberals and the left opposing 20 years ago. I honestly can't believe the speed at which they're embracing him and they're justifying him and they're saying because of this resume that I'm highlighting, he is better equipped than anybody else to manage the economic crisis. He helped create the economic crisis. Make no mistake, there's plenty of association between him and Justin Trudeau. Whose advice do you think Trudeau is taking? Do you think he's listening to her? Or do you think maybe she and Justin Trudeau have been listening to him? Who's been their principal economic advisor in the Liberal Party? This is a guy who doesn't even identify as Canadian. He talks about being a European. That should really tell people something. Now, there's also the sovereignty threat. From his time, and I've made some notes, his economic policies from his time at the Bank of Canada to his private sector roles consistently favor international interests over Canadian ones. We've already talked about that. These are the people who open up the country. They gut your mining industry. They gut your energy industry. They gut your manufacturing industry. They carve the country up and they sell it to their friends in communist China and other areas around the world. And Canada's sovereignty, as I've talked about in previous videos, has been eroded. And our ability to defend ourselves has been eroded. And it's not accidental. It's part of a plan. And that's exactly why we're in a position right now where Trump has the ability to completely bring the country to its knees. Watch my other videos. I've talked about it at length. He's big on digital currencies and central bank digital currencies. So getting rid of crypto and replacing it with government-controlled options, which would pretty much take all the fun and benefit out of crypto. The whole idea is privacy. They want a digital currency where every single transaction is logged and tracked on a... It probably wouldn't even be a publicly available blockchain. It would probably just be using blockchain to create the most powerful accounting data entry, automatic data entry at the point of purchase database that you can possibly imagine, which they would then control. His immigration strategy and his support for mass immigration. So I highlighted net zero. You can't be a carbon advocate for, you can't be an advocate for reducing CO2 output and be an advocate for mass immigration at the same time. These people in one breath, and that's the liberals and that's the NDP, will tell you that humans are bad for the planet and we need to get rid of a whole bunch of them. They'll all tell you the same thing. They think the demographic crisis is good. And they'll tell you the carbon footprint of a human is the most damaging environmental threat facing humanity today. And yet at the same time, instead of reducing the number of people who live in Canada and thus enhancing the net carbon sink that Canada is, because we have all this forest and all this land and we have a low population, we should be the poster child for a low carbon country. But instead of wanting to maintain that, people like Mark Carney, and also her, they're both the same in that way, people like Mark Carney want the Canadian population to be 100 million by the turn of the century. Now, for those of you who aren't good at math, that's 75 years from now, which means you got to have a lot of population growth, which means that the people who are here, the Native Americans, the First Peoples, as they're called, the First Nations, and everyone else who's been here for a long time, you're going to be drowned in a sea of East Indian mass migration, of Asian immigration. And a lot of the people we're bringing in don't care about Canada. We are just a resource to be exploited. That's why you have a whole garden industry on TikTok and on YouTube where people are advising newly landed Canadians or people, newly landed Canadians, newly landed immigrants and people who aren't even here yet, videos and content geared towards people in other countries telling them how to completely take advantage of our refugee system, how to take advantage of our international student programs, how to take advantage of the temporary foreign workers program, our refugee program. Did you know? It was just announced yesterday that we're bringing another 5,000 Gazans here. And we're going to give them thousands in financial incentives to come here. And then they're going to get paid for by you to fund their housing. Did you know there's a program where you can register your kids and you can get money from the government? You can't as a Canadian, but a foreign person can register their kids to get money for being enrolled in school. And then they bring them over here, they register them, and then they send them back and they just keep cashing the checks. This is going on right here in Canada. And this is an architect of it. It's insane. And while we're bringing in more Gazans, who's out there firing fireworks off and storming universities and breaking glass and harassing people while they're trying to go about their business? And there's not a single Canadian flag in sight. It's just all Palestinian flags everywhere. I understand that the war in the Middle East is hell. And it breaks my heart every time I see innocent life lost on either side. What does it have to do with Canada? Why are we tolerating the destruction of our places for the advocates of this? And why? Oh, why? Because these people, they're not just protesting war. They're chanting slogans wanting death to the JEWs, death to Israel. And it's, we're going to bring 5,000 more in it, and we're going to subsidize them. That's Canada right now. That's Canada under this guy. But setting all that aside, this guy isn't even a Canadian. He's a global citizen. He is the quintessential post-nationalist. Are we really going to do this? Is what's left of the liberal base really going to do this? Are you going to fall for the bait and switch that's going on here, whether you go for her or you go for him? Do they really think they can rally the left around them to stop the big dreaded Pierre Poilievre? As if they don't have enough institutional power without winning the next election to completely snowball Pierre Poilievre's agenda through the Senate, which is, I pointed out in other videos, Trudeau stacked it. He broke an honor code of prime ministers that goes back through the decades to not stack the Senate. He did it. One of Harper's biggest mistakes was he wasn't the first mover. Now you have 85 of 100 senators are far-left progressive Trudeau appointees. The Senate is a huge obstruction. And then if you get through the Senate, if the Senate actually decides to play ball because of public advocacy, you have to deal with the judiciary, which is completely dominated by far-left lunatics that were appointed by this government. They have all kinds of options at their disposal to oppose the agenda of Pierre Poilievre. But they're going to lie to you anyway and pretend that these people weren't behind Trudeau every step of the way, and that goes for every single liberal. It doesn't matter who runs from the party. You'd have to have a complete outsider step in and come up with a revolutionary set of ideas for me to even be interested in anything they're trying to sell. They're such hypocritical liars. And the worst part, the most condemning part, is they don't care that they lie. They don't care that they're hypocrites. All they care about is selling to you a myth. Carney is your purple-robed globalist kingpin. It's just the way it is. And I'm not speaking to conservatives out there. I'm talking to the liberals who they're trying to sell this guy to you as a hero. They're trying to sell this guy to you as a solution to the economic problems that his advice led this country into, that his policies led this country into. He's the guy that advised Trudeau, and he's somehow supposed to be the solution. It's insulting to intelligence. And now, which nation do these individuals most represent the interests of? It's not Canada. It's, generally speaking, the Communist Party of China, specifically in Canada, where they are allowed to run police stations. They're allowed to have influence. They've kidnapped our citizens. They buy up our resources. They buy up our land. They buy up our mineral wealth. They invest billions in our universities, which then churn out propaganda on their behalf, which is why you see so much. They're behind the push for DEI policies and social justice because they know it breaks the back of a society. It breaks the fabric. And do you know what the backbone of a society is? The family, a man and a woman having children. If you learn to hate that institution, if you learn to hate anything beyond yourself, if you learn to hate a higher calling outside of government, if you learn that the best and highest thing that you can do is engage in unmitigated hedonism, that your so-called gender identity is more important than the destiny of nations, you become a broken people, easily taken over. This is a graphic from Aaron Slotov on X. I don't want to, like, there's his handle there. You can go and check him out because I really think people should give credit to those that they get for sources. But this chart accurately shows innovation in the West, where it comes from, where the world's advances come from, and who gets to benefit. We're losing. We're losing because of these guys. Revisiting the theme of yesterday's video, in which I celebrated Daniel Smith for standing alone and being unafraid to stand alone when it comes to Ottawa being willing to sell Alberta down the river again after doing everything in their power to oppose Alberta's development and strengthening the sovereignty of Canada. Listen, the way this federation was designed, in the beginning, the provinces were practically independent nations, and we offered power to a central structure over very limited things. Then along came Pierre Trudeau, repatriated the Constitution, went over and created a legal basis for centralization, which actually isn't really legal, and Quebec never really ratified it. And there's a whole litany of study that you can go on to where you can look at how Canada itself is kind of a fraudulent structure since Trudeau's last term, Father Trudeau. The fact of the matter is, we believe and exist inside of a myth, And that is that Canada is supposed to dominate the provinces, and the resources of those provinces belong to the whole country. Now, we've all subscribed to this myth in one way or another. It's been gone along with. But it's time to reclaim that, especially when, for 40 years, the entire institution of Confederation has disadvantaged the West more than any other member. The West has been robbed. Now, I said in a tweet or an X post that Mo should be very strongly backing Daniel Smith. And I believe that. I believe that that's essential. He's got to do it. He signed that premier statement, but he's indicated that he's far more concerned with the fact that Ottawa, there's this vacuum of leadership that has left us in this boat. But I'd like to see him move more towards aligning with Alberta and have a shared fate, because we've borne the burden. We should share the same destiny, and if we're going to change things, we should be doing it together. Now, I just want to remind you, Scott Moe tweeted 8 years ago, Saskatchewan stood alone against the Liberal carbon tax, and all the other provinces supported it. Since then, almost every other province has changed its position and now opposes a carbon tax. Now, that's one way to put it. What Scott Moe actually did and what the Saskatchewan Party did was engage in an actual legal rebellion, and the media more or less didn't talk about it. Refusing to pay a portion of the carbon tax is a highly illegal move. But this is a government, and I remind you, the Saskatchewan Firearms Act, checkmated C-21, your guns are still stuck in your safe, but there's a good chance you're going to get them back. And even if they had have implemented the buyback, the Saskatchewan Firearms Act means it's going to be very hard to do anything here in Saskatchewan to seize those guns. So they might be useless to you, but they're still your property, and that's a good thing. The Saskatchewan Revenue Act, which tries to reclaim some of the sovereignty of Saskatchewan from Ottawa in terms of collecting revenue. I didn't list it in this tweet, but you have the Saskatchewan Marshal Service, which would displace at least part of what the RCMP is doing here and start maybe having a conversation around more local policing, because I'll tell you, between Trudeau's justice and some of the practices that are going on, Saskatchewan's got a crime problem too. Big problem. Progressive ideas of just, they're everywhere. They're polluting everywhere. This idea that you just got to give addicts more drugs, that you just got to give the homeless more money, that you just, when you get robbed, when you're trying to get money out of the bank with your kids, you just failed to understand the robber's situation. These ideas are failing here too. And we need to start getting tough on these things. And the Mo government in the election, at least, talked about doing these things. There was the way that they handled the federal, there was federal agents that were coming here and they were trespassing on people's lands and they were testing dugouts and they were trying to find some kind of, I think, justification for further intervention and how things are done here in the province. And the government came out and said, hey, if you're going to do that, if you're going to warrantlessly trespass on people's property, well, then we're going to arrest you and we're going to charge you. And the federal government backed off. Saskatchewan's a very strong place. We punch way above our weight class, which is why I think we're so ignored. If people actually knew the strength of this place, if they knew the strength of the West, they'd probably be surprised. But that doesn't mean all those things are good. But I will say, the election was in October. We've got a government now. We haven't seen any update on the gender policy. We have not seen a parental bill of rights, which we should get. And I'm concerned that the government's not going as hard standing alongside Daniel Smith as we should be. I've spelled out in several of the last previous videos how precarious the Canadian situation actually is. And what they're going to do is going to make you suffer. Doug Ford ain't going to miss a meal. He's not very good at missing meals anyway. Chrystia Freeland's not going to miss a meal. She's not very good at missing meals either. None of these people are going to suffer. Jagmeet's still going to be rocking his Rolexes and driving around in Maseratis. Justin Trudeau's still going to be flying around on your dime right through. Mark Carney might become leader of the Liberal Party. And then Jagmeet Singh might have a pretext, because we don't want the big, bad, dreaded Pierre Poilievre. So maybe Singh doesn't trigger an election and we actually do go to October. Or, like, there's a lot of scenarios here where they're going to put their interests ahead of you, and they're willing. They are willing to throw the country away in pursuit of their own comforts. And that's what this is. This isn't about a united Canada, because they don't care about a united Canada. They've been destroying a united Canada for decades. They've been selling Canada down the river for decades. All governments have been doing it. They've gutted you. They've destroyed you. They've demeaned you. They've made you suffer. And now all of a sudden they're going to call for national unity. And they're going to use you as pawns in their battle. This confederation's broken. I've spelled out why, and I would dare anybody in analytical terms to try and tell me that it's not. There's a lot of nations on this earth, and a lot of them have it a lot better than we do in terms of civic power. Our healthcare system's broken. Our education system is a hive of propaganda. I could go on and on and on. I'm just revisiting ground I've already been over. And now they want to call for national unity with a strategy that could very well see the dollar collapse to 30% or 30 cents on the dollar against the U.S. dollar and see you, the people, suffer massively and you're out there waving your flag? What does the flag even mean to you anymore? Just that we're not American? Do you understand how international concerns dominate Canada and have dominated Canada for decades? And now you find your national pride? It sickens me. Mo needs to get stronger on this issue. It's about Saskatchewan. He serves us. He does not serve Canada. Daniel Smith serves Alberta. She does not serve Canada. Canada doesn't serve us. Canada takes advantage of us and has for a long time. It's time for a reckoning. And speaking of reckoning, we should have a reckoning with the polling industry. This is a poll that was put up by Polling Canada. It's from IQOS. Now, IQOS, for those of you who don't know, is ran by a man named Frank Graves. Here's Frank Graves saying, a real conservative option is a healthy counterbalance and a healthy democracy. But Pierre Poilievre is an acolyte of authoritarian populism. This is never healthy. Why would you want popular policies with the people? That's all populism really means. And he's talking about authoritarian populism. We have one of the most authoritarian governments in the history of this nation. It's a minority government that's being held hostage by an authoritarian named Jagmeet Singh so that he can have his pension. It doesn't get more authoritarian. They had Bill C-63, which wanted to censor speech and put you in jail and put ankle bracelets on you if you engaged in wrong think, like what they're doing in Great Britain. They got this pandemic treaty, which claims control over every facet of your life if there's another common cold running rampant in the country and they deem that a national emergency. It doesn't get more authoritarian than what we've got right now. And I would note that the Conservatives voted against both of those things for all those PPC people who say the Conservatives are no different than the Liberal and the NDP. And we'll get to that. That's how we're going to finish. Going to make sure, this is Frank Graves again, going to make sure you are never going to lead my country and I don't make idle threats. That's the same creator. Yeah, my finger disappears off screen. Look at that. The magic is broken. That's the same guy who released this poll. And now Polling Canada, that's another story. Polling Canada doesn't really tell you about Frank Graves on an ongoing basis. Might talk about him sometimes. Doesn't tell you the linkages. IQOS is the most delusional of all the polling houses. That's what I said. They're not delusional. They're actually biased. They're in the game. And the other person on the tweet, I want to be fair, its CEO also tweeted he'd do everything in his power to stop Poilievre. So I've done this in a bit of a reverse order. You see it all now. But Polling Canada took a group of polls during the Saskatchewan election. And like a number of other so-called unbiased people, this group of polls showed the NDP in five different polls, I believe it was. The NDP was ahead of the SAS party in the popular vote, upwards of 5%. It was fake news. It was always fake news. And yet, you know, these so-called unbiased people, they got their finger on the scales in subtle ways. And the smartest ones, they don't reveal their hand. They do it very subtly. And you have to watch out for it. At the very least, when it comes to Frankie Graves, and I don't say that mockingly, he's got Frankie in his odd handle, at least he's out there and he tells us what he's doing when it comes to polling. His polls are outlandish. And we have an issue in the polling industry in Canada anyway for always underestimating the strength of the right. Now, I said I would finish on the PPC, and I will. Look, PPC bros, Max and Bernier is not in the debate. It's not because there's some conspiracy. It's not because you're at the head of some suppressed populist wave. It's not because there's widespread voter fraud, and that's the only reason you didn't form a government in 2019 and 2021. I was there in 2019. I participated in 2019. I was a poll worker in 2015. I've done other things. The elections at the federal level are predominantly fair. You can say they're rigged by legal immigration. You can say they're rigged in certain ways by demographic rigging, but it's paper balloting, hand counting. I lost fair and square in 2019, and I did not expect to win, and I've never complained about it because I'm sure the process was fair. You guys in the PPC, you're not in the debates because you're not relevant. The support that you got in 2021 as part of the protest vote has bled away. In every single by-election, you're down massively. Your leader is a known quantity in this country. You also like to say, you're very fond of saying, that they just don't know our name. If the public only knew who we were and they knew who Maxim Bernier was, they'd come out and force and vote for us, and that would just be this huge purple wave. I love the purple wave memes. So delusional. You're the margin of error party. You can't break out of 1% to 3% because you are a known quantity. And specifically, you're a known quantity under Bernier. And I don't care how great the words that are on the website make you feel. I have policies too. Everybody's got a policy. Everybody's got an opinion, some better than others. Bernier doesn't own ideas. None of the ideas that he espouses, he created. They're not new. You guys act like this guy is some kind of Canadian political messiah. And it's unbelievable. He's lazy. He's ineffective. He's a part-time political leader. He's a wealthy man who takes your donations and funnels them through a corporation, which is designed as an expense account and a paycheck for him while he waits for his pension. You're not in the debates because you're irrelevant. You're not in the debates because you haven't earned your place there. You can't seem to see it. I don't understand how else to communicate it to you. If you had structural relevance, if you could show concrete gains, if you could show a constitution, if you could show member rights, if you could show that you were building an actual people's party, things might be different. But there are no people in the People's Party. It's a corporation that wears a costume of being a political party. You have no rights. You can't advance policy. You can't edit the website. You can't do anything. Everyone outside the echo chamber has already seen it and passed judgment on it. And the fact of the matter is, you lie all the time. You lie. When you say Pierre Poilievre supported lockdowns and supported mandates, it never happened. When you say he supported mandatory vaccination, it never happened. When you say that he only showed up to support the trucker convoy at the end, do you understand that Aaron O'Toole was still leader of the party at that point? Do you understand that the show of force by the CPC going to that convoy was actually the thing that ended Aaron O'Toole? That was the nail in the coffin of his terrible, bad leadership, which was completely discredited. And I'm actually thankful that Aaron came along, because you wouldn't have a different CPC today if it wasn't for Aaron coming along and doing such a terrible job trying to appeal to radical leftists. We would have ended up, if he had a one, it would have been like Doug Ford in Ontario. And I don't know what's with Ontario. Somehow Doug Ford is still winning in the polls. The guy is just right of the NDP. I guess that's why I'm in Saskatchewan now, not there. You mislead people in the way that you talk about Poilievre. You could be honest in your criticisms. There's a lot of room there. I've done a lot of it on this channel. You could be honest in your criticisms. You could focus on the points that matter and are factual and are honest. But instead, you resort to rhetoric and Twitter polls, and you can't seem to see how irrelevant you are. And you are. You're irrelevant. And here's my prediction, which I'm going to state again. I made it in another video. Bernier is going to run in this election. He's going to spend all your money, and then he's going to leave you high and dry and broke. And only then will you get the constitution he promised you when I helped him found the PPC, when we needed something different in this country. You're going to be left high and dry. And "I told you so" isn't going to be pleasurable to me. I'm not even going to say the words. I'm trying to warn you now. When it's past tense, I'm done talking about it. It's the same with every other bit of work I do, because I'm not driven by ego. I'm not driven by narcissism. I'm here to try and provide. I guess it's rhetorical, but it's a fact-based rhetoric. It comes from my heart, and it comes from my soul, and I share it with you. I tell you the truth. I told you the truth in 2020, early 2020, when we came out of the election in 2019. It was clear he was going to break every promise he ever made to me. I told you, and everything I said came to pass. And that's why so many of you who were with us in 2019, who insulted me, demeaned me, called me every kind of name in the book, you've come back, a lot of you, to apologize. And it's not about an admission that I was right. I feel bad for you because you believed. You were loyal. You were good. And contrary to what you'll read online from CPC people, there are still good people in the PPC. And I'd like to save you before he crushes you. And that's coming. That's what's up next. At any rate. Oh, let's get rid of some of this stuff. I wouldn't expect a Sunday show, as much as there's a lot of interest. Don't expect it anytime soon, because I have to be really sure how I go about that. And like I said, I've been thinking about it for years, and I haven't touched it. I don't know if I'm going to touch it anytime soon. Now, I could change my mind on a dime. When I'm ready, I'll be ready. But I'm not ready yet, but I appreciate all the support that that people have shown. And I also talked about fasting. I actually did 2 days. I was at... I did 2 days, and then I had some broth, and I had some stuff, and like I'm still not sure if I want to do some kind of epic 40-day thing. I mean, it would finish my job. It would finish the task of losing weight really quick, but I don't know if it's necessary. So I'm still kind of tossing that around. Anyway, all that is to say, I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider going to the website and supporting it so that I can keep it going. I'll see you in the next one. By the way, just before I go, there's no advertising here. There's no YouTube commercials. There's no monetization. I got a blue check mark over on X, but I am not a member of their monetization program. And even if I blow up and I grow and I got hundreds of thousands of followers, I'm not going to monetize that way. I'm not going to let anybody put ads in here. I don't want to put ads in my content. Why would I let somebody else put ads in my content? And I don't want sponsorships. If I talk about something I like the Epoch Times, I'm talking about it because I like it, because I genuinely think the thing I like, not because I'm getting paid to say it. It doesn't really bother me, but I find it modestly annoying, I guess, which would be the same as bothering me. So, you know, I guess I'm not really sure on that. When people always throw out the accusation that you're being paid by somebody to say something, whether I'm dumb in your eyes or whether I'm smart in your eyes, whether I'm well-spoken in your eyes or I'm just a rambling idiot, it's all coming from me. It's not, there's a donate link on the website. You can use it or you can not use it. That's your choice. And I thank those who use it sometimes. I really do. I appreciate it. It gives me the time and space to do these things. But that's it. I got these convoluted rules for how this thing works. And I'm going to stick to them because it's the only way I can sleep at night. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work. And a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link and one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.